Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Big win for the Packers last night. They look for real, maybe the best team I think they are in the NFC through 3 weeks. We've been talking a lot about them. Encourage you to make sure you download the podcast. Biggest win, though, of the weekend in college football. How about Mike Leach and Mississippi State going on the road and upsetting the defending national champion LSU Tigers? We are joined now by the head coach of Mississippi State, Mike Leach. I think the last time we talked, Coach, we were breaking down the Tiger King and whether we thought that Joe Exotic was going to be able to get paroled. And you went down and you kind of became your own Tiger King. Mike the Tiger is the mascot on Baton Rouge. And you guys went down and, my goodness, the SEC-CBS game of the week. What did you expect? And where did KJ Costello throw in for over 600 yards and five touchdowns rank in your expectations? If I had told you, hey, coach, I think you guys are going to be hot. I think you're going to have incredible success. And KJ Costello is going to throw for over 600 yards and five touchdowns. And you're going to beat LSU. Would you have believed that that was possible going into the game?
It's funny you mentioned that. They stuck me on a Tiger King meme there, put my face on Joe Exotic, which I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but anyway, it's Joe Exotic's got a big audience. As far as predicting it, first of all, I thought KJ played well, and he played better than I thought he would, and I thought he would play good. the biggest thing that he did well, he's the same guy every time, even if he turned it over, he would come out swinging the next series and did a good job electrifying and stabilizing our sideline. So I thought, you know, just his composure and the kind of presence, I think, was huge for us. As far as predicting we'd beat LSU, this is not a business for particularly rational people. You know, and to be perfectly honest with you, on Sunday night after we wrap up the last game, I'm not altogether sure we can beat Starkville Junior High. But somewhere around Thursday, I'm pretty sure that, we can beat the Dallas Cowboys. So, it's kind of an evolving thing. I mean, at least in my case, you know, as you focus in, as you break it down, as you start to see the vision, as you get out there and work and kind of get pumped up from the practices and stuff, it's a fairly dramatic shift, to be perfectly honest.
I know you've been in a lot of winning locker rooms over the years, but 2020 has been, as you know, and everybody out there listening knows, just an absolutely insane year. Did it feel more gratifying to get a win like this in a year like this, given what you've got to go through, what your kids have to go through, the coaching staff, everybody else just to play?
You know, maybe a little bit today, but in the course of the game, as you're heading up there and doing the whole process, you're kind of too busy for all that, really. I don't want to minimize it or make it not fun, but you're kind of sidetracked, you know.
It's interesting because on one level, emotion's important, right? Emotion is important in so much of life. But also, it seems to me on the sideline that you're a guy who tries to respond to great success or great failure almost with a particular equanimity, right? Like you're very even-tempered on the sideline. Is that by design or have you always been like that?
I think it's a little of both. I think, first of all, I think you got to focus and move on to the next play. You know, I mean, it's between calling plays. Even if something great happened or something devastating happened, I'm thinking of the next one, you know, thinking of, you know, how do we handle the team? How do we handle the sideline? Do we got to pump them up? Do we got to settle them down? And so some of it's that, but also I do think, And I think emotion is very important for football as far as going out there and being intense and it being very meaningful for you to whip the guy across from you. But also there's got to be a stability to that. There's got to be kind of a, you know, your fundamentals, your technique, a focus on your job within that intensity, you know. And in some positions, it's more important than others to be the same guy every play. I think quarterbacks, it's definitely important. Kickers, it's definitely important. I think offensive line, it's pretty important. But within the context of doing your job, like, you know, running backs, defensive players, you know, where more collisions, more violence, that type of thing. Some of the best ones are a little edgy, but they don't take their eye off of doing their job.
We're talking to Mike Leach, Mississippi State head football coach. Coach, I talked about this earlier in the program. I said there's been a long debate about what you would be capable of with your team and the schemes that you run. And we talked about this, I think, on a long-form conversation that a lot of people loved on the Wins and Losses podcast. And that question has been, and I know you were at Kentucky, and so you had some SEC talent at Kentucky, but it's been, hey, you wanted a high level at Texas Tech. You didn't really have SEC caliber players. You wanted a high level at Washington State. You really didn't have SEC caliber players. Does your offense work no matter what, but maybe even a little bit better with SEC caliber players? That's been a big debate for a long time. What could you do with SEC talent? Do you feel like you're starting to find out?
I think the more talented players, the better your team has a chance to be. But then, you know, the other thing is, sometimes there's a big disparity in resources. And, in other words, the difference in our resources at Washington State, whether we won or not, which we beat them most of the time, honestly, but the difference between resources at Washington State and Oregon was pretty extreme, you know. And so if you can, you know, my hope is that we can get talented enough guys here that even if somebody's better than us, it's only a little bit better. And then we can work, focus, energy, coach, play our way through it, you know.
How did you get your team to buy into your scheme and your system so quickly? Because a lot of times you see teams have a lot of, growing pains, for lack of a better term. You go out and get one of the biggest wins in Mississippi State history in your very first week, and you didn't even have spring ball, really, right? I mean, this is kind of unprecedented to have this much success. What do you attribute that to?
Well, we didn't have a lot of spring. We didn't have any spring ball. We did get some off season, and that was cut short. And then we, I thought we had a pretty focused camp from the standpoint. I guess what made camp tough is you don't have the guys kind of sequestered, living together, all for one, one for all. And, you know, there's no two-a-days, no, you know, the night meetings, all that other stuff so much because, not that you may not meet at night, but you know how it goes throughout the whole day during a typical camp because school was going on. I mean, the day we started football practice was the day that school started here at Mississippi State. And so it was like trying to fit camp in more like a during the season schedule because school had already begun. And so I think there were some challenges there. As coaches, we talked a lot about just being kind of simple and specific about what we were doing. One, because our team didn't know the package. You know, I mean, when you get really strong, the guys at the front of the line can tell the guys at the back of the line what to do and can show them and are good examples for it. But if you're putting something new in, then all that example and all that stuff's got to come from the coaches. And, But when walking to and from the locker room, in the locker room, playing video games, they can talk about their assignment, their technique, or, you know, this blitz or this route or something like that. I think it really duplicates your effort. So we didn't have the advantage of that, but we tried to be clear as much as we could, as specific as much as we could. We had quite a few walkthroughs so they could visualize it, because the walkthroughs are quicker and less taxing. And then, especially as you get closer to the season, we had longish practices leading up, you know, as so more like a camp practice, except for long, and they're pretty physical. And but, you know, that was the thing, just trying to be as precise and specific. And the other thing that was kind of tough was, you know, as a new coaching staff, you're trying to sort out who can do what and how you put them in a position to feature their talents and do what they do best. So, you know, there was kind of more evaluation and moving the parts around than you would totally like, you know. But we're excited. We were an excited group, though. You know, we were pretty excited, even with all the distractions. We had some kind of team leadership emerge. You know, Kobe Jones, Errol Thompson, KJ Costello. Those guys, I think, have kind of in sort of the offensive line as a group, have sort of provided some focus and some, tried to lead by example the best they could, and have steadily improved.
How long does it – well, let me go first of all to personnel, because Kylan Hill is a really, really talented running back, and everybody out there knows how many plays he's made. He only carried the ball 7 times, but I would think you made him a lot of money in the NFL, where everybody wants a back who can prove that he can come out of the backfield and catch as well. He had 8 catches for 158 yards, including a long of 75 yards. When did you realize, oh boy, this guy out of the backfield can be special, not just as a runner, but also as a receiver?
You know, honestly, it was hit and miss in practice, but I thought he, when the lights were on there in the game, I thought he really rose up. I thought he played well, had 190 total yards, which is pretty good no matter who you are. And, he's a guy that can accelerate very quickly. I'm not sure how fast he is exactly. He's faster if somebody's chasing him. I know that. And then, but he accelerates quickly. And then the other thing is, he's a guy that's kind of built for combat. So, he can run through and drive through stuff too. So, but he's a talented guy. And then the other thing, you know, I'd love to hog a bunch of credit for his hands and stuff like that, but the truth of the matter is, Kylan could catch pretty well. When we got here, he had pretty good hands.
We're talking to Mike Leach, Mississippi State head football coach. Huge win over LSU in the first game of the season. When you win a game like that, how long does it take? Even though you're pretty stoic on the sideline, how long does it take to come back down after that game? So you win, you do the interview, had the great line about the reason why we had to play LSU was because the Packers and the Chiefs and whoever else, the Patriots, were already scheduled for somebody else. But how long does it take for you to come back down, for lack of a better way? Like, you know, do you sleep that night, or is your adrenaline still rolling so much it's almost impossible?
I don't sleep much win or lose, you know. I mean, it's kind of the whole post-mortem evaluation. Some of it's just you're excited because you won, but then also forcing yourself to focus on what you need to improve on. And, basically I thought we fought really hard. We tried really hard. We were explosive but sloppy. And there's a lot of things we can tighten up. But I stay up, I think about that. So a certain amount of nervous energy. My wife at some point gives up and goes to bed. I stay up some more. I write notes. And then
are you watching film then, or what are you doing? Like when you have that nervous energy, are you going back? Or are you just watching random? Are you on Twitter sending out the pumpkin spice tweet? Like what? Like how do you feel that nervous energy?
That was on the plane. I think I can't remember. I think that was on the plane. I did that, but well, and then if you lose. It's a constant debrief evaluation, top to bottom. You know, what did we miss? What could we have done better? Kind of reevaluating the week, you know, if we, you know, what could we have done better to prepare our team better to play? And then, and you know, which is obviously more haunting, but, you know, and if you play really well and you lose, that's not nearly as haunting as maybe playing, winning, but playing terrible. And, you know, the next week, that's not going to be enough to get it done. So, yeah, there's a certain amount of brooding, pacing, wandering around, going for short walks, you know, just, I wish I could tell you it was, a little more pleasant and exciting than that, but knowing full well, you got to get it packed in because we got to get all the corrections, all the evaluations, whether it's the coaches, the players, the film, all the above. We have to get that done by Sunday night, and then we'll have a Sunday practice, which is helmets and shorts, and where we'll begin to introduce the new opponent. But at the end of that Sunday practice, we try to make it clear that that previous game's over. And then I try to follow, you know, my own advice and make it over for me, too. So, yeah, I'm back to being stoic now, you know. But I did give that a little bit of a breather for probably 20 hours, you know. And then but did not sleep much. But it was, I'd say it was a pretty good night, though.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so you're a guy who probably thinks about some of this stuff. Communication-wise, you are going to have your first home game in at Davis Wade, Mississippi State. The cowbells are going to be loud. People are going to be fired up wanting to, you know, cheer on your team after that big LSU win. You've got masks on in theory, too. How much harder is communication? Have you thought about that a little bit? Like, you're not used to the cowbells, which is a totally different sound. Already, you know, if you go to a restaurant and somebody's wearing a mask, it's hard to hear what they say. Have you found there to be communication?
Charlie Brown's teacher the whole time.
That's exactly right. So have you noticed that it's sometimes hard to communicate through the headsets with the masks, and now you got the cowbells and everything else going?
I slipped the mask down when I talk in the headphone because what you just described I don't think is consistently possible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some muffled thing on the face mask, I don't think that's very effective.
Did you see like the Andy Reid face shield? You seem like you might have tried some different stuff. He started to have the fog issue, which is pretty funny in and of itself.
It'd be funny if they had a windshield wiper on that.
Yes,
thing.
It would be amazing.
I just had the mask, but I was talking most of the time, so tried to remember to keep it up. The hardest thing's remembering to. And then, there's a certain amount of communication where, you know, you have to look and somebody's got to see your lips move. So we kind of try to keep our distance. But, you know, I mean, I've always drawn a lot out of conversation with people if I can see them talk. And it wasn't hard on the headphones. The headphones was pretty clear. The stadium was louder than you would think. So they had, like, you know, there's a percentage capacity they can go. So they had like 25,000 people there. And then they got fake people sitting in the stands, which that's almost like an episode of Twilight Zone, you know, or The Outer Limits or something. And, you know, some people like it. I actually think it's kind of creepy. But I checked out the stadium real thoroughly because it was just a great iconic stadium. The dorms are gone, which is a shame. I didn't get to reacquaint myself with Mike the Tiger at the end of the tunnel, which I missed that too. But but they do have the traditional H-shaped goalposts. But anyway, it's louder than you think because they pipe in. The PA system is particularly loud. They pipe in kind of crowd noise. So I don't know. It's a little bit more like. But when it comes to the game itself, I mean, just total explosions, and you can really hear the hits. But you know, like for example, just to give you an idea, you know, so we had to do silent count. It was loud enough. You had to do silent count. You know, I don't think it's as loud as LSU usually is, but it was loud enough that not having silent count wasn't even a consideration.
What was the motive behind the pumpkin spice tweet? So did you have that one planned out no matter what happened, or does the pumpkin spice tweet play as well if you lose?
Oh, no, it goes one way. Well, to me, it was about the pumpkin spice tweet. It wasn't about anything beyond that. It was just about the pumpkin spice tweet. Somebody texted it to me, and I can't even remember who. I just thought, all right, this one's interesting, and I put it on there. I wish I could give you a cool backstory, but for all the stuff that, you know, they send me, hey, this one's cool enough, and yeah, either you make the cut or you don't, you know.
When we come back, we'll talk more about the big win over LSU, and I'm going to ask Coach Leach, has he ever thought about coaching on the sideline in a costume for Halloween? That, my friends, you're going to want to hear the answer to. That's next. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Welcome back. Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach with us now. Appreciate him getting up early and hanging with us as we discuss his big win over LSU. You are going to be coaching against Nick Saban on Halloween, October 31st. Have you ever thought about dressing up on the sideline for a game? And what do you think the psychological value would be, both for your team, and what do you think Nick Saban would think if, for instance, he looked across the field and you were dressed as a pirate or, you know, some other choice of a costume to coach against him?
You know, I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. That'd be kind of wild. Nick does seem like the type of guy that would really get into some costume play, though. Before I forget, hey, what happened? What was the deal with Malzahn dressing like Pat Dye? I saw TV, but I never got to hear the punchline.
Well, I think it was just that, you know, Pat Dye had died in the off season, and so they were paying homage to Pat Dye. So it was, you know, he was dressing like Pat Dye did when he was the coach at Auburn.
Oh, wow. I recognized it immediately, too. There was no
way to miss it.
It was simple but real specific.
I mean, I'm just loving the idea of you walking across for the pregame handshake just dressed as a pirate and – what that would do to Nick Saban, right? Like, I'm envisioning Saban just having no idea how to comprehend this.
That would be kind of funny.
Wouldn't that be hysterical to see what Saban would think? I mean, if you're 4-0 with Mississippi State and everybody's talking about what a huge game it is, and you're trying to show your team, hey, we're going to go out and have some fun, we're going to play loose, and you know, you walked out with a costume dressed as you called the entire game as a pirate. I just think, like, you had an eye patch, you know, maybe a fake parrot on the shoulder or something. I think you really would get into Saban's head. I think he'd be, like, staring across, you know, looking at you and have no idea what you were going to do from one play to the next.
I think that parrot would get knocked off pretty quick because one of those guys slapping you on the back or bumping into people. But, you know, it'd be something to think about if I thought my coaches or players would take me seriously at all. The other hurdle is,
is there a rule against it? I mean, do you know if there's a rule against a coach dressing up for Halloween to coach?
I don't know if there is or not, but that occurred to me as you mentioned it. And then the other thing was, the other thing was, is, you know, by game time, I wouldn't say a totally uptight group, but we're kind of a wound up group, us coaches. You get to that point, and I don't know, it would be pretty hilarious. So I got to say, if I was a fan, they'd be fantastic, and I'd root for it every time, especially if there's a deal where.
What if they made that a rule? What if the rule was that you have to dress up for Halloween? Yeah, like, I mean, you know.
Like throwback, you have to dress up?
Yeah, like throwback, everybody wears, you know, the normal Thursday, you know, like throwback Thursday, you put up an old photo on Twitter or whatever else. But if ever, like, we have a Halloween party every year, and my wife loves it, and we get the house all decked out, and everybody that comes to the Halloween party has to be in a costume. You know, I don't want, like, you know, you don't want to be the you know, only person dressed up at a Halloween costume, but it's also kind of killing the vibe if you're the only people who aren't dressed up at the Halloween costume, right? So you have to come dressed. That would be amazing because Halloween's on a Saturday. If they said, okay, every SEC football coach has to wear a costume this year.
Hey, what have been some of your costumes?
So last year, did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
So I was Jon Snow, and my wife was Daenerys Targaryen, and, you know, spoiler alert, we were dressed up as the final episode where the way that their relationship ends. So so my wife had, like, a pallor on her face, you know, powder. We were, if you remember old school wrestling the last couple of years, we were Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth for old school wrestlers. She was obviously Miss Elizabeth, and I was the Macho Man. And so we tried to do couple, you know, husband and wife costumes that would be connected. And by we, I mean, my wife decides what we're going to be. And then I, you know, she procures the costumes and I just put on whatever she wants me to wear. Right. I'm not really the decision maker, but she's got good, you know, sort of costume taste to figure out what makes sense for us.
You know, the first guy I would call, and he could go into business doing this. The first guy I would call is Pat Knight. Pat Knight, Bobby Knight's son, you know, that used to coach you. He's a scout for
the Texas
Pacers
Tech.
Now, I think.
Yeah.
So he loves Halloween. As a matter of fact, he had a hand in he and Bobby giving me that pirate, that stand-up pirate in my office. And but, you know, he's good with costumes, too, and knows – all the newest stuff. Like, I guarantee you, he's Halloween shopping right now, finding some new stuff. And, you know, some new costumes, some new, like, gadgets, technology. He would be my first call, no question. I'd get Pat Knight right in the middle of it. And then I would probably get a staff member, because on one hand, you don't want to be outdone, but so you want kind of a cool costume.
Yeah.
But you want to fit a theme, kind of.
What if you went as Nick Saban? You could really get into his head if on Halloween you dressed up as Nick Saban.
Hey, some kid one time dressed up like me. It was a kid.
Yeah.
Dressed up like me when I was at Tech, and I saw it on, like, Twitter or something, and it was really good. He did a good job. Okay, the best ever that I've seen. And Kansas State would do stuff like this. So when you play Kansas State, Manhattan, Kansas, there's only one place to stay, and it's like a Holiday Inn Express. Okay, that's the only place you can stay. So you go in there, and then strategically, we played them around Halloween. Strategically, they placed a meeting room, or you know, you have the meeting rooms, right? Okay, so the ballroom right next to the meeting rooms is a frat sorority costume party. and it's a frat sorority costume party. You know, anything to make as big a distraction as they could.
Yes.
And the very notion that there's anything innocent about it, in my mind, is ridiculous.
Right.
Okay. So this guy was dressed like Bill Snyder. And, I mean, the hair was perfect. Had the, you know, the hair colored white. And, you know, and Bill's got kind of distinctive teeth. I don't know how the kid did it, but he made his teeth like Bill Snyder. had the sweater, perfect sweater. I had the notebook, the glasses, and then the kicker, because see, long before there, okay, you can get them now, sort of, but you know, Nike Cortezes for decades were every kid's favorite. Neither Nike Cortezes or the Adidas, you know, with the three stripes, which probably survived nuclear war.
Yes.
Okay. And then, and if you couldn't get those, or your parents wouldn't get you those, you'd wear Converse All Stars. Okay, but so Nike Cortezes, and then we went like 30 years where there weren't any Nike Cortezes, and yet Bill Snyder, and you'd see him on film, and they'd jump out at you too. Bill Snyder was always in Nike Cortezes, always had them. And from what I understand now, and this is probably legend that's evolved over the years, I guarantee you spawned by jealousy, like with people like me who would desperately love a pair of Nike Cortezes, but they're so hard to get. And you can sort of get them now. Okay, but then, no way. You'd be lucky to even find Nike Cortezes, period. Okay, but Bill always had. So then this guy had his shoes and even had the Nike Cortez fixed up so they looked like Nike Cortezes.
How do you think he got the shoes?
Okay, so what I've heard, you know, Kansas State was always a Nike school. And so I don't know, he called, I guess he got a hold of Nike somehow. And they go to the back room and they, I don't know if they special made them, but it sounds like they found a bunch of boxes of those things because they also have a purple stripe, you know, like Kansas State.
Yeah.
And so he just got piles of them. I mean, it sounds like he's got, and they claim, I mean, his former assistants claim, he's got boxes of those things, and if he wears that one, he goes to the closet and gets another. Kind of like if you go up to Schroeder's piano and you wreck the bust of Beethoven, he's got a closet of them, you know?
Coach Leach, we will be watching against Arkansas. Congratulations on a heck of a debut with Mississippi State, and I'm telling you, think about the pirate costume to go against Nick Saban. I just tossing it out there. Think about maybe get a rule regulation and look into it. But I think it might psychologically throw him off his game.
That'd be good because any help we can get for sure.
That is Mississippi State head football coach Mike Leach.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Absolutely loaded Monday program. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a single minute. I know all of you want to make sure that you continue to help us become one of the biggest podcasts out there in all the world of sports. And frankly, we're already there. And I'm just kind of curious how much more listenership we can get as we are poised to set another record for all-time listenership in September. And by the way, a little bit later today, it may already be out. I'm not sure. I haven't checked my downloads. Dub, we've got a really interesting wins and losses podcast, and I believe there are like 34 of these wins and losses podcasts that are up so far, and we sat down with Megyn Kelly, formerly of Fox News, formerly of NBC, and had what I thought was a pretty fascinating discussion about the role of modern-day media, where things are going. She's a fellow lawyer like I am. I don't know if you knew very much about Megyn Kelly before, but I thought that was a pretty good conversation, pretty interesting conversation we had.
Yeah, for sure. And you want to talk about taking a leap of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, she really did in her career going
that's exactly right.
Yeah, from a lawyer making some big time dollars. And then, you know, her story is pretty incredible.
She told us as a part of that conversation, and we may play some of it on the radio program. I think we probably will this week. So you'll at least hear a little bit of it. But it's over an hour long conversation. If you're in your car and you want just one long form conversation to learn from, she was close to being made a partner at a major Chicago law firm, Megyn Kelly. And she decided to walk away from that to make, I think she told us, $17,000 a year to be a on-air television reporter. And obviously she bet on herself and she ended up making a lot more. But she talked about in our conversation something that I thought was amazing and fascinating and also a little bit terrifying. She said she was working so hard as a lawyer that she had sort of an epiphany where she was like, man, I wish I could like break a leg and have to go to a hospital for a couple of weeks. Not something that's super serious, like I would recover from it, but something where I couldn't work full time anymore and I could actually be able to hang out in that way. And I thought to myself, goodness, I think there are a lot of people out there who sometimes can totally lose on the work-life balance. But I thought that was a pretty interesting sort of epiphany that she had, where she was working so hard as a lawyer, not loving it, but afraid to kind of give up what I've called the golden handcuffs. And she, anyway, I'm telling you, I think you will absolutely love that conversation if you are at all intrigued by how you end up becoming someone on television who has your own television show and how you do it in a non-traditional fashion. Anyway, I would encourage you guys to go listen to that. Also, I would encourage you guys, I'm super excited because just like we did for the NBA playoffs, Fox Sports Radio has created our first ever Major League Baseball playoffs bracket challenge. That's right. Now that there are 16 teams in the Major League Baseball playoffs that starts tomorrow, it's a total crapshoot. It's bracket challenge time. Go to foxsportsradio.com right now or at any point by 1 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday to compete against fellow Fox Sports Radio hosts like me. I've sent in my picks. And fellow listeners, by the way, I've got the Braves against the Yankees in the World Series. And the winning bracket gets a free Westinghouse 50-inch Roku TV. So check out foxsportsradio.com to fill out your MLB playoffs bracket. Okay, we have got an absolute monster Monday Night Football game. An absolute monster. Maybe the best game on the schedule for the entirety of the NFL calendar. The final game of Week 3, the Kansas City Chiefs are going on the road against the Baltimore Ravens. We gave you out this pick, had a pretty good week for picks. Don't want to brag or draw attention to ourselves. Pick six, the outkick six pack did really well already. We won you money, okay? We took on that pick, if you remember, Dub, we took the Chiefs plus 4. And the number now has started to tick down a little bit, although I think you can still get 3.5 most places. I love getting Patrick Mahomes plus the points. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. I like to watch Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens have been unstoppable in the regular season. But I think the Chiefs are going to be able to dial it up to another level. I like the Chiefs tonight to win outright. I like them to cover, obviously. Even if they don't win outright, I love that I'm getting them plus 3.5. I just think this is a no-brainer. If you give me Patrick Mahomes plus some points, it's almost never going to happen, right? It's like getting Brady plus the points. Almost never happened when Brady really had things rolling in New England. I am taking Patrick Mahomes plus the points, and I hope we're going to close out another huge week with the winning picks for everybody out there. So what do you think, Dub? Are you as confident in the Chiefs plus the points as we were on Friday when we gave these out?
I am, and you know, you're exactly right. Anytime you can get Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes more than a field goal, I'm pretty
extra
much
extra day to prepare.
Exactly. I'm pretty much going to bet that almost automatically. If Mahomes is there and Andy Reid's been there, extra time, like you said, I think the Chiefs get it done.
Tuesday is going to be a big day on the program. We will have Whitlock back, as we usually do, for about an hour on the program. We'll also talk with Petros Papadakis, and we'll be getting you ready with the Power 5, top 5, bottom 5 in the NFL since Week 3 will officially be in the books. Plus, Major League Baseball playoffs will be starting. We'll know everything we need to know about those matchups and more. I can't wait. Be a loaded show on Tuesday. This was a loaded show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Go download the podcast if you missed it. I am Clay Travis. This has been Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.